Hello and welcome to the Ozone. I'm your host, Jeff Hazard, retired Sports Information Director and current chair of the Athletic Hall of Fame Committee. And on today's episode of the Ozone, we welcome in Ronnie Van Noy, a wrestler from the mid to late 70s for us, and someone who we will be inducting into our Athletic Hall of Fame on Saturday, June 6, 2026. Welcome to the show, Ronnie.
Hey, happy to be here. Happy to be here.
Well, first of all, on behalf of the committee and myself, congratulations on this honor.
Hey, listen, it's more of an honor for me, quite honestly. I mean, really, even to be thought,
Right.
even for that, it's like a blast from the past. It's beautiful, you
Right.
know.
What were your initial thoughts of being, I mean, because of course now you deferred, but up to a year, whatever. So you were actually part of last year's class, but we were able to catch you this year.
Right.
So you've had almost 2 years to think about
Hey, listen, and since then, I've thought about it every day. Not so much about, I'm not going to downplay it, the Hall of Fame, but just was about Oneonta Wrestling. I mean, all that went into it, besides the matches, the wins, the losses, whatever, there's
right.
a lot that is really packed into the camaraderie, the people that you were with. I have never forgotten them.
Wow.
Ever forgotten them. We've lost a few of them along the way,
Yeah.
and some ones that were really close to me, let's put it that way,
Yeah.
even roommates that that we've lost. And it didn't realize you didn't realize when you were going through it how impactful it was going to be in your life later on. One of the main people that I think was the ringleader of this whole thing that really made it everything it was that Coach Sosa.
Yeah.
He was the dad to a lot of us.
Yeah.
That compass that we wanted to reach to be like, and probably never could get there, quite honestly,
Yeah.
but wanted to be like based on him. And it kept a lot of the ducks in a row. You know what I mean? It wasn't a gunslinger type atmosphere that you would think. It was a refined engine that he was running.
Yeah.
And he kept a lot of different players on board and in line. And really bought into the whole thing. So I think that when I look back, I think that that is probably one of my fondest, strongest moments. And I always do talk about him and always do think about him. And he's probably one of those underrated guys. He's not even underrated to us, but
Right.
maybe on the outside, he was just doing his job.
Yeah.
Maybe that was what it was, his job. But he took an interest in every one of us.
Right.
I think that. And he was papoose
Yeah.
when we
Yeah.
were away from home,
Yeah.
So,
I mean, he was an accomplished wrestler himself
oh, yeah.
at the other Red Dragons. We don't, we give him a hard time about that, but we know that he's one of us. Because, after 40 something years, I mean, he's in our Hall of Fame. I mean, certainly a career that, like you said, it was a family atmosphere that he created and brought you guys along. I mean, we certainly had, during your time, we had some pretty outstanding wrestlers.
Yeah, we had some good stuff going through them. I always felt one thing, and it was because maybe I didn't listen, was that I let him down.
Oh.
I remember leaving there that I let him down because
Wow.
I should have taken it to the promised land. I knew I had it, but I wasn't listening. To a couple of inputs that
Yeah.
needed to be done,
Yeah.
and I didn't make those changes. I didn't pivot to it.
Right.
But later on, after I graduated, and you're going through life, your business is no different than being a wrestler. It really isn't. You got to fight everything, and then you got to learn how to pivot when
Yeah.
certain things aren't going right to make the changes to keep it going.
Yeah.
And I always did equate myself to some of the pivots I didn't make quick enough in my business, and it fell back. Even I said, if I had listened to Coach on a couple of things, I would have taken him along for a better ride. It's funny how this whole thing plays in.
Yep.
It really does, because he was right with the basic fundamentals, which were really basic fundamentals of life. I mean, wrestling was everything to me.
Yep.
I ate, slept, and drank it, when I was even up there. And but if you don't make those couple of pivots that you're being groomed to do,
Yep.
you're only going to make it so far.
Right.
Mine was weight loss. Drastic weight loss, and it was draining me of a couple other things that I could have done instead of concentrating so much on that. So,
Right.
You know, but it's in life. But that is probably the main thing I think about besides the guys. We had a great group of guys. And you know, when you're part of a wrestling atmosphere, you are an individual on a team. You know, when you're out on that mat, you know, there's no other eight players out there that you could say, well, if he sprung the block, I could have went through there. You know what I mean? You just didn't do what you were supposed to do. Or you didn't react fast enough to that, or the guy was just better than you. You know, and you got to admit all that stuff to you. And then you find out where you are in the pecking order and how to get around all that. So you know, to me, I think wrestling in a sport where I did play football in high school, but loved wrestling the most because it was an individual battle. I think you really do find out really a lot about yourself. And it wasn't all about winning and losing. It wasn't all about winning and losing. There's one guy that I always think about. His name was Jeff Condon. I don't know if you've ever spoken to him. A monster in the room. Not so much in the wins and loss bracket, but a monster in the room. The later on that you see how a lot of these wrestlers went on to leadership, business owners, because it was so strong individuals. Which wrestling is an individual sport when you get out there. They were just fighters, man, you know, and they kept going. They didn't rely on a team, they relied on themselves. And it's just, there's so much that you can pull from the sport besides the wins and losses. And I do all the time. And I think when I get together, I was a gentleman I was just talking to, a guy named Ralph Castellano from a competitor school, Binghamton, that we talk about that and how. You know, it just gave, he's a very successful guy. The attitude, the mentality, a lot of that was derived personally from your gene pool or yourself, but a lot of it was derived from wrestling. It was cultivated and pushed in through wrestling. So, you know, I can't say enough about wrestling and Oneonta. And I wasn't even going to go. Listen,
I was going to ask you, how did you find your way to Oneonta?
a little brutal. I had a very, very smart, controlling, manipulating mother who was raising six kids, and she believed education was everything. Well, I am naturally who I am. I own the same company back when I was in high school as I do right now. So it's been like 48 years since 78, 77. And, personally, I wasn't going to college. I didn't. Why should I? I already had a business. I was doing well, but you know, I was a small fish in a big pond at the time. But when time to graduate, I think Sosa was calling because my older brother went to Oneonta. Yeah, my older brother went to Oneonta. He was a little pissed that I got in before him. You know what I mean? Those are like, what? You know. But anyway, that's another story. But graduation was coming. I think Coach Sosa was calling or something like that. I wasn't really calling back because I wasn't planning on going to college. I had my business. We were doing good. I had six girlfriends. You know what I mean? What else in life could there be, you
That's
know?
right. That's
But
right.
my mother wasn't having that, you know? So when it was time to graduate, and she was very strict, very tough, always manipulating, you know, putting her little inputs in. She was leaning, I remember it. She was leaning against the counter with her arms crossed, with her cat eyes, watching me as I was pacing back and forth. Because as I always say, I was a kid, a Ritalin kid before they had Ritalin.
Oh, jeez.
You know, a lot of energy, you know what I mean? Just back and forth, and her eyes were following. She said, so Ronnie, have you got back with the coach or anything like that? And as far as going to college, that's when I broke to her. I said, Mom, listen, I don't really see, I have rain dance. I don't see myself as going to college. And she was, oh, really? And then she goes, well, you know that your dad, who's passed, you know, years gone by, when I was seven, he goes, your dad and I said, everybody in this house has to go to college after high school, or they have to leave right after they graduate from high school. Now at that time I had no I had six girlfriends. I couldn't leave. I couldn't move out anyway. It was too expensive, you know? So anyway, I was like, oh my God, I never thought of that. I never I don't know if she was lying. I don't know what the story, but my mother didn't really mess around very much. She wasn't that kind of person. It was
Yeah.
serious business all the time. And I was like, oh my God, I can't take care of myself, regardless of whether I had
Yeah.
my business back then. And sure enough, got on the phone, Coach Sosa, you still want me? And that's
Yeah.
how it happened. That's exactly how it happened. So I just packed my little bag up,
Well,
went up there to see the place, and I ended up there. And I'll tell you, it was singly the best decision or the best manipulation my mother ever did for me.
yeah.
It made the world. I think it made the difference.
Yeah. Well,
I
mothers do know best.
they do.
I
They
mean,
do. And my mother was full of them. There was no sitting on her lap type deal. It was all inputs.
yeah.
And how she put out our family is amazing. We couldn't get six kids successfully through right now, through
Yeah.
college and everything, doing quite well. You just
Yeah.
can't do that. We struggled with two in ours,
Yeah.
let alone six back in the day.
Oh yeah. Well, I come from a family of eight. So, and I was the only one that went to college.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Think about it. It's not that easy to get six kids. Yours one, it's just, but the mentality in the house was always geared toward that. It
Yeah.
was amazing. It was really amazing. You didn't realize it, but that's it was the direction, who was going to be what in the family,
Yeah.
kind of was basically being inputted from the beginning. Who
Right.
was going to be the doctor, who was going to be this, who was going to be that.
Yeah.
My mother kind of carried through with it, and everything turned out well. But that's basically what happened. And Coach Sosa took when you got up there and you ran into Sosa, man, it felt like Jesus, you knew him for your life. You
Yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
This guy's just doing his job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful wife, beautiful family, and you were saying, I see myself with that. You know what I mean? I guess that's where I want to be later on. Back
Yeah.
then, there was a lot of energy, testosterone flying around. But sooner or later, once you can gather all that together, you hope that that's what it's going to look like for me.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
I can't say enough about it, man. I can't say enough
Yeah.
about the guy, but I do say that I let him down. And
Well,
I let him down, and I also brought him along too. I mean, we had a good run. We had a
right.
good run up there. We had a good team. We were fighting it out all the time. Our leader was up there, but I think he deserved some of us to have made it better than what we did.
Right.
And that's
Well,
okay to feel that way.
it is. It is. But just to recap on some of your accomplishments, I mean, you were a SUNYAC champion and most outstanding wrestler.
Was
You
me.
won. You won 90% of your dual matches.
Crazy.
You were the first four-time NCAA qualifier,
It. There it
and we've
is.
only had two since, and we just had one guy do it yesterday for the
No.
fourth time.
Really?
Yeah, we have another. We have three guys going to nationals this year, and the senior did it for the fourth time at 184 pounds, and he
Wow.
was only the third.
Wow.
So you think about wrestling's been around for like 60, 60, actually, yeah, 66 years, and we've only had three four-time NCAA
Wow.
qualifiers.
Hey, I feel now, see, that's something I didn't even know, and I feel good about that.
Yeah.
I feel great about that. I mean that, it wasn't that easy, even though, you look at it, and I remember saying, my wife asked me, or somebody asked me, well, what do you remember about, all the matches and the wins and stuff? I said, I don't remember any wins. I remember those losses.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Yeah.
And four of them, or maybe five of them, went to the same guy.
Oh, geez.
Guy from, and he was my nemesis in high school.
Wow.
One town over. He went to Brockport, monster school for wrestling when we were
Yeah.
there,
Yeah.
and he was up there.
Wow.
He just followed me. I thought he would go out west to some division
Yeah.
D1 or
Yeah.
something like that. He ended up in Brock, and we still stayed in the same weight class.
Wow,
But
that's
that's what
incredible.
made it so special. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That stuff just kind of carries straight through. You just thought you were going to school and doing the do and having a good time. Now
Yeah.
you look back on it, there was a lot of dynamics going on back there.
Yeah.
And yeah, but I can't, I could sit at a bar and talk about wrestling all day, either my business
Right.
or wrestling, you know.
Right. I would consider you being a successful business owner, being in, like you said, since 1977, you've had this, explain a little bit about that business and how you found yourself in that business, and just talk a little bit more about why you think wrestling helped you.
Why do I think, well, let me just say the reason why rain dance, why wrestling helped me. Because I think without it, for a guy with my kind of energy and no dad around and no Ritalin, I could have been in jail.
Oof.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
It could have easily happened. Now I'm living in a great town and all this other stuff, but there were a lot of things going on then. You
Yeah.
know what I mean?
Not the 70s.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Things could have went horrible, but I followed my older brother, and I went behind him because I used to go and watch his matches when he was in school,
Yeah.
and I just fell in love. I said, "That's me. I'm very aggressive, trim, high-tempered guy." And what do you need when you're a high-tempered guy? You need to be able to get rid of that energy.
Yeah.
Wrestling practice was a way to get rid of it with other guys who were bigger than you,
Yeah.
so you knew your boundaries, and they had as much energy as you did.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, and I rode that cusp. But how did wrestling affect me? It actually contained me. It kept me in a containment box.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Where I couldn't do damage
Right.
outside of the box because
Yeah.
I had wrestling practice. I had to get through school. You know, I still had to pass grades, you know, though wrestling was kind of primary,
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
not that much, but then losing weight and all that, it just confined. It took up a lot of my life, of my day, you
Yeah.
know, and that kept me from falling. You know, if dad was at home, he would have corrected it. He would have kept it in line, but he
Yeah.
wasn't. You know, like I said, he got killed when I was 7 in a car accident.
Wow.
So, and, you know, it happens. But
Yeah.
that is what wrestling was to me. It was my boundaries, my bumper guards, my guardrails to keep me from going too far left or too far right.
Yeah.
And it took me all the way through. It was like being on a wave that just kept going. And
Yeah.
there was nothing better than when the whistle blew. So, you know, and my intensity for my business was the same way it was for wrestling. And then
Yeah.
there was school in between.
Yeah. Yeah.
Knew
Yeah.
where my destiny was when I was in high school, and that was rain dance.
Wow.
You
Yeah.
know?
That is something.
Yeah, I still wear my shirt all the time.
Yeah. What age did you start wrestling?
Yeah, seventh grade.
Okay,
Seventh
middle
grade.
school. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't have a training pro. We didn't have the Pee Wee League here.
Okay.
Comac, we didn't have that. If we had it, and my brother was in junior high school, high school wrestling, I would have been in one of those little training, you know, because
Yeah.
I fell in love with it the minute I saw it.
Wow.
You know what I mean? I wanted to be it, you know, I wanted to be out there. And once I got the opportunity in seventh grade, never looked back. You know, I was a big football player, played well, but the mental intensity wasn't there because it was more of a team sport thing. Instead of an individual sport, I like the individual.
Yeah.
You know, I walk out on the mat, it's just up to me to win or lose or do what it's going to do, you know. And football was great because the same wrestlers were on the football team. You know,
Right.
they had us on a football team to keep in shape for wrestling
Yeah.
and vice versa.
Yeah.
So it all worked out, man, I think. But, you know, if you just carry that same intensity and that mindset from wrestling into life, you're going to be successful. I
Right.
really do believe it, you know? Because anybody, I always say, anybody in wrestling who went out on the mat, I always thought it was about winning and losing. It wasn't. It was about going out on that mat and competing.
Right.
And, you know, there's always people bet big, there's bigger companies than me. They're doing better than I am. I'm doing well, but they're doing better than me. So that's the same way it was on the mat. There's always somebody better than you. But if you went out there and competed against them and you laid it out there and you came off and maybe he could have pinned you in the first round, but you made it all the way to the third round, hey, you're a winner. You
Right.
know what I mean? You competed. because you made it to the third round. And that's the same way I think about it now. I think about, and you got, but the one thing, you had to learn how to pivot. You know what I mean? If somebody's telling you, if your coach is telling you, Ronnie, every time off the bottom, you're sitting out and turning instead of standing up, he's already locked in. So stand up, and you don't stand up, you get stuck. You know, and that's going to happen in business. If you just stay doing the same thing, you're going to always be at that. You know what I mean? So I always think about that. And coaches always saying different inputs, but I was locked in on a couple of things and it hurt me, you know. That's about it. That's about it.
Now, your older brother, what kind of, I mean, having him there at Oneonta at the same time? No.
I think he left the year before he left the year I came in.
Oh,
I
okay.
came right behind him.
Okay.
So I think he was like 5 years, 4 years ahead of me.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I think he was 5 years ahead of me. I came in right behind him.
Okay. And what kind of influence did he have on you?
Yeah, he was like, Dad. You know, he was like, you know, he was running the show. Not running the show. You know, if he had let off of a cliff, I might have went off the cliff too. You know what I mean? But he was, you know, in our household, it was positive. Everything was good. Nobody was doing anything really bad, and it could have went that way. You have six kids, a mother caught flat-footed, you know, with six kids, that's no joke. And they were all young. We were all young. So things could have went horribly bad, but somehow she kept it together. My father had already put his footprint on the family before he left. So, you know, we kind of stayed in the same group and big influence, huge. And I followed him straight through. Followed him. It would have been nice if we could have had 1 year in Oneonta together. Yeah, I think we could have given a pretty good input on the team, you know, anchored our weight classes, you know. But yeah, he was strong in high school. But at the beginning, it was amazing because, you know, I didn't know, I don't think I remember right. He said he was losing a lot in the first year or two, and I didn't remember that because I was just so enamored by the sport itself that I always said anybody that goes out on the mat is a winner. Is a winner because you're displaying yourself, especially for a man, a young man. You know, you're going to go out there in front of. I remember seeing some dudes, and I was a very macho-y guy, headstrong, where they would go out there and their girlfriends would be sitting in the stands and they were getting their ass kicked. I don't know if this is going to be said, but maybe I shouldn't have said that word, but their butts kicked. I mean, butts kicked. And I was like, I didn't know how you could keep doing this. And letting your significant other see that happening to you. And this gentleman said, well, it's not about the wins and losses, Ron. It's about competing. You know what I mean? I had it a little wrong in my head. It was about wins and losses, you know. And this was in my freshman year. By the time I got to my junior and senior year, I realized what this thing was all about, you know. It was about competing. You know, and like I said, if the score was supposed to be you're pinned in the first period and you make it to the end of the match, and maybe the score's 18-2, you're a winner. You didn't get pinned in the first period like they had you predicted, you know? And yeah, so no, big influence, big influence. I think in a lot of wrestlers, you'll see a lot of them following each other in families. You know what I mean? You'll see it in families. I mean, sure, a couple go the different way.
Well, we did, Coach Sosa did, you know, of course I was there for 23 years or whatever, but it always seemed like we had a lot of brother duos throughout the time that I was there, who did fortunately, you know, get to wrestle on the same team together
Yeah,
in a few
yeah.
years. But yeah, I mean, that seemed like that was a good thing for him. You know, you bring in more family kind of people that are kind of on board with that whole mentality, philosophy, and probably like they keep each other in line a little bit, maybe.
What they do. Of
Yeah.
course they do. And then, you know, wrestlers are to me, like I said, they're different. Wrestlers are different, you know. I don't know. I guess when you start messing with people's food, you know, your intake, you're kind of doing these intercessions up there, which I hated, but at the same time, I liked. It made us tighter, you know, the way we were living in the gym and all that other crap he had us doing that you thought was ridiculous. But it was I thought it was important in the development of us,
Right.
and as a team. And you got to remember, going to Oneonta wasn't a bad deal.
No.
No, you're going to a good school.
Yeah.
You didn't realize, I didn't realize it. You're talking about a guy who wasn't planning on going in the first place.
Right.
So I was
Right.
late to figure out a lot of this stuff. But the minute I got up there, and I came from a competitive family, everybody had to go to college, and I didn't want to be the first person not to make it. So when I got up there, it was like now it was serious, all hands on deck.
Yeah.
I got to fight to get through here. And it was a fight for me. It really was
Yeah.
to get through academically at the same time. But wrestling had a way of making you organize your time for studying,
Yeah.
which I needed probably a little bit more than others, to
Yeah.
concentrate and learn it. And so I could pass the test. And I think one had to do with the success of the other.
Right.
If I didn't have the wrestling, I would have never made it through college.
So who were some of your teammates that you still either stay in touch with, or some of the other guys that, you felt made it special for you?
Well, the people that I used to stay, you know what? That's kind of a sore spot with me, because they were reaching out to me, but I was so engulfed in Rain Dance, my business, that I just funneled in, and I really wasn't staying in touch much as I should have, calling back. Juan DeJesus was one of
Yeah.
them. We lost him recently.
Yeah.
I would hope that one day he would be in that Hall of Fame if he's not already.
He is already.
He is already, and he should be. There was Tony Petway. Bob Jesaitis was another
Yep.
one.
Yeah.
Tony Petway passed on just recently. Freddie O'Mealy was really nice. I
Freddie
don't know
O'Neill.
what
Yeah.
a, you know, I think he was one of the big pluses of being up there on the Oneonta wrestling team. Who else was there? The dean of everybody of the whole school to me was Tommy Cimetti. Tommy Cimetti, do you know of him?
Nope. Wait, was he? The name is familiar from the right.
Yeah, he was the he was like the leader of the team, I don't know how you explain him. Maybe the wins and losses weren't there.
Right,
Wasn't
but
necessarily always first string, but he was always there. He was like the runner of the team. Jeff Condon, another guy,
yeah.
powerhouse in general. Those people, and I didn't. I'm one of those guys that unfortunately, I got locked in on Rain Dance, and that's all I ate, slept, and drank it. And even to this day,
Yep.
my friends say, Ronnie, you just work 7 days a week. 12 hours a day, that it's just what I do,
Yep.
but those were people. And then all of a sudden when we started losing them,
Yeah.
then you realize that you didn't know some of the things that were going on.
Yeah.
And then when there were phone calls, after a while you don't get the phone calls anymore because you're not returning them.
Right.
So that's really what happened there. And that's probably one of my biggest faults right there. I just kind of sunk into the family, the business, and that was it, But like I said, they were all great people, and they were there from the beginning to the end. Do you know what I mean? Beginning of the people that little crew that I came in with, that we actually rode in the same car to go up there. Hold on. I got 10% battery. I forgot to charge this. What am I? Oh, I'm on my phone. Okay. I don't need this, but I got my laptop. I'm looking at my laptop, and it's saying 10%, but I'm on my phone. Anyway, that they were the same guys that coach brought up to us to come look at the school.
Wow.
We all drove up together. Then we were roommates, and we all made it straight through together.
Yeah.
It changed. So the environment that we came up there in is the same environment that we left out of.
Yeah.
And we all got through, we all were successful, and we all went on to careers and did good things.
Yeah.
That was a nice thing, And we had one of the best GPAs in the
Wow.
school at the time. I don't know if you knew that about Oneonta.
No,
We had
no.
one of the highest GPAs of all teams.
Wow.
Yeah. Thank God for a couple of us smart people that were in the competition. We had a
Yeah.
few smarties that were bringing it up. But in general, we did.
Yeah,
We did.
wow.
So I mean, what is there to it?
Right.
What else can you say about wrestling and Oneonta? And it all had to do with that coach.
Yeah.
Him and Al Shear. There's
Al
a guy,
Shear, yes.
a jet two strong role models. That's all I got to say. Forget about the coach part. I mean, that's another category. They were great with that. And I always felt like if I could beat Sosa, I could have been the number one national champ, but you can never come close to that. Guys, like, at his day, I'm just trying to figure out when I was up there, how old was he?
So he graduated in the mid 60s from Cortland.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Mid 60s.
Yeah.
I came up there in 78. So how old do you think he was?
So that would have been about, I would say, probably close to 15 years. He would have been mid to late 30s.
Okay. So I could see how he was just still so powerful. Do you know what I mean? The guy
Yeah.
was powerful. There was no really dealing with him. And I think that that was also important.
Right.
That you always, when you want to get out there, if I could beat him, I know I got this. But you never came close. He was just so strong and so everything
Yeah.
that, that might have been also with some wisdom too,
Right.
He might
Right.
have had that 15-year gap of wisdom.
Yep.
He was able to figure things out quicker or knew things about, But yeah,
Yep.
listen, I think about wrestling. I can't tell anybody who says that they're a wrestler, I look. I always just tell them, I say, you're a winner already. How you are, well, I'm not doing it. You're a winner already. Trust me. Just for being on that mat, it's going to come in tenfolds when you leave, when you're out in the real world. Just stick with it. Don't worry about the wins and losses. They're going to come the way they're going to come. And like I said, you'll always remember your losses. You'll forget about all the wins. It's funny you say now over 90% of my matches I won. I never really even knew that. I never really knew that, and it was the same way in high school, straight from junior high school straight through. That's a hell of a number. Hell of a number. Hell of a number, man.
That's in a small group, a small
And
group.
most of them went to that one, those four guys, that
I
one guy.
know, that's crazy, isn't it? Yeah. That's just amazing that that.
It didn't even make sense because, listen, he was a two-time, three-time national champ too.
Wow.
It was no joke. But he didn't, he wasn't, he just had my number.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Yeah.
He had my number right out of junior high school.
Yeah.
All the way through, same weight class. He never moved. And then when I found out he went to Brockport, I was pissed. But it
Yeah.
was a good time. But anyway, that's basically about it.
Yeah.
That's the evolution of Rain Dance and Ron the Wrestler right there.
Yeah, Ron the wrestler. Well, listen, I certainly appreciate you taking time today to talk with me. Again, congratulations. I look forward to seeing you. And now you said you had a couple of children.
Two
Yep.
boys.
Two boys. Did they wrestle as well?
No, they didn't have that bloodline to take it to be it. No, one of them did. Yes, one of them. I'm sorry. Let me tell you something. I backed off. The other one was a basketball player. He was never gonna he was six something. He was never gonna
Oh,
be a wrestler. You know what I mean?
yeah.
He'd never be a wrestler. The other one, we had fostered him at 15. He came to the house and he had some learning issues, and I told him that you weren't, you got to figure out what you're going to do. And we had to go to a tough school, which was scary a little
Yeah.
bit. 15 going into high school into a tough school was different. So I said that, listen, you can't come home on the first bus. We were not allowed to come home on the first bus. You had to participate in some sport.
Yeah.
So, I would have never thought in a million years, I didn't know what sport he could actually really do with his, situation. But
Right.
he goes, I think I'm gonna join the wrestling team. Now, could you imagine? And he's a bigger guy. I mean, he wasn't small. He must have been a 160 something pounder. Could you imagine in high school is your first time starting to wrestle?
Yeah.
That's not something you do.
No.
No, you start in a peewee because, and you know something? He went out there and he did it for his years that he was still in high school. Because, like I said, we got him at 15.
Yeah.
And yeah, he did wrestle. And yeah, it was tough watching it. It
Yeah.
was tougher watching it than it was doing it. You know what I
Yeah.
mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, is that what it looks like? You
Yeah.
know, instead of being part of it. But yeah, he did it. And he wasn't good at it, didn't win any matches, but he made it to the end in some of
Yeah.
the matches. So, but the most important thing, and I said it to him, and I meant it, was
He won a match.
he, hold on, he did win a match?
Yeah, remember when he pinned that kid?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, correction. I disrespected my wife said, no, he won one match. He
Okay.
pinned the guy.
Oh, there you
He pinned
go.
the guy. Yeah. I can't imagine how bad that guy was.
Oh, jeez.
No. I take nothing. And he was fast. You got it. He was 4 years behind. So
Okay.
if he was 15, he was 11
Yeah.
when we got him. So just that alone, his body was not in sync with himself.
Yeah.
For him to have pinned somebody, that I don't remember that. Again, you don't remember the wins. You remember
Right.
the losses. You know,
Yeah.
the losses were hard for me to watch. Really was. You
Yeah.
know. But yeah, no, he did it and strong by it. I can't complain, man. I can't complain. I
Yeah.
would have loved to have had an army of wrestlers. Yes.
Yeah.
Would I have died for one from the beginning?
Yeah.
Absolutely. It could have been male or female.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey,
Yeah.
how many female are you seeing in the league now?
So at NEC where I am now, they added wrestling 3 years ago. We actually have a girl who's like pretty good. She's probably about an hour away from here in like northern Massachusetts, but because where our school is in New Hampshire. She's pretty good. She's going to nationals for a second straight year.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so she's pretty good. But yeah, for us around here, wrestling just was voted to become an NCAA sponsored sport, so they're full go, full everything. So now they've got enough schools that have sponsored it, so it's growing. So yeah, I mean, women's wrestling is here and it's not going anywhere.
Do they have their own team? Do they have their own team, or is it mixed with the men?
No, we have our own team.
And I'm glad because I remember when it first started, I went to a tournament out in Port Jefferson, which is on Long Island, and it was a tournament. And I remember there was a big thing about it was one of the first girls that were wrestling. All right. And I was just having a conversation with my wife about this, that it goes against everything we were taught. Like you keep my mother and father, you keep yourself, even
Yeah.
my sister, even my sisters, and even to this day, when I sometimes wanted to kill my sister, it's like, don't ever touch that girl.
Yeah.
Don't ever, I'm telling you, do not ever touch your sister. My father, you're dead.
Yep.
If you even put your hand, because we were all aggressive,
Yep.
and my sisters were aggressive too. So that was no joke neither. They would come right after you, just like a dude, my sister. But anyway, I watched this one on the mat. The guy went out there, young man went out there, and you could tell he did not know what to do,
Yeah.
how to touch this girl. I would not have, I know my style, if you ask Sosa, was extremely aggressive.
Yeah.
How do you handle that?
Yeah.
And this girl was no joke. She whooped his ass in the tournament.
Wow.
That could have been enough to set the kid out of wrestling altogether.
Yep.
Screwed up his mind.
Yep.
A bunch of the other buddies in the room talking crap to you
Yeah.
about you getting whooped and beat up by this girl. How do you put your hand in her crotch? How do you touch her chest? How do you head and arm her?
Yeah.
How do you do that? I
Yeah.
couldn't have done that.
Yeah.
But now I'm glad that they have separate teams.
Yeah, they do. And again, there's quite a few good ones out there.
No. I mean I think this is a good sport for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, if nothing else, it's gonna teach them how to take care of themselves.
Yeah.
some dudes with, do something he's not supposed to. So I have the utmost for it. I just didn't like that it was mixed with us. I don't think that's like football. Unfair advantage. You know what I mean? We're built different, bone mass, density. You can never, you could think that you're as strong as us, but you're really not. I don't think so. But that's about it. That's about it.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, this has been fun. This has
Yeah,
been
no. Hey,
great.
for this call to talk about wrestling. Are you kidding me? But the main thing is to talk about those two damn coaches up there. They have no clue to what they've done. We were in some tight jams up there outside of wrestling. The coach had the way out, the proper way out, where maybe we wouldn't have taken the proper way out. Handled the business. And maybe that's how you learned. Maybe face it, and then deal with it. And that was Sosa. That's all I got to say. You make sure you tell him I said that.
I
You know, he
will.
never asked for much, but to be able to do your best.
Well, who knows? He might come up. He came up a couple of years ago for one of his wrestlers, so maybe he'll come back.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna cut. He called me. I was talking to him for a while. He's down in Florida. I couldn't believe they ever got him out of
Oh,
Oneonta. I knew
no.
Doreen never wanted to be there. Doreen was a New York City girl. He was a New York City girl, and he got her to be up there in the sticks, up there. Oh man! But I guess she finally won out, and they went down south. All right, give him my regards.
I will. Well, listen, thanks again, Ronnie, and we'll see you on June 6th. It'll be a lot of fun. So thanks for joining me today on the show.
I appreciate you very much. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Bye.